And I think that ends our presentation for the Planning Commission, and we'll leave it, turn it back over to the Planning Commission for questions.
Do any of the Planning Commissioners have questions for staff or the applicant?
Yes, Chair Masterson?
Yes, Commissioner Peters.
I have a question. I noticed in the presentation that they said that it had a, what was it, a 15 barrel a day capacity? And I'm wondering, I've got the plans in front of me, and I'm trying to figure out where exactly are you brewing the beverage.
If you look on the plans, just to the left of the bar, you'll see the brew house. There's a 15 barrel kettle, 15 barrel mash tun, a 30 barrel hot liquor tank, and then of course the fermentation tank. We decided to go ahead and make the actual brew house a function of the experience. So when you walk into the brewery, not only will you see the, you know, the bar and the eating areas, but right in front of you will be this enormous brewing, what we call the brew house and cellar, will be there. So anybody can see what's going on. Of course, it'll be railinged off, so nobody can go in there without, you know, well, somebody from the brewery, but people will be able to see the brewing process as it happens. We also plan in the future to be able to have brewers where people could come in and learn how to brew, as well as teach and brewing as well.
So you're going to offer classes?
Down the road. I mean, not at first. I mean, obviously what we want to do is establish the brewery and the restaurant first, but it's not beyond having that brew house right there out in the open. We can do stuff that kind of maybe somebody wants to do an anniversary package for their husband and or wife that wants to learn how to brew, and we'd be able to do it right there on site and then ferment their beer, and then obviously we could showcase their beer and give them kegs as well as part of the process. So you know, there's a lot of ideas we have. We want to be very community centered. For example, we're going to have 20 beers on tap. A handful of those beers are going to be beers that come to us from people from the community, from people that are visiting the brewery on a regular basis. Maybe somebody likes a Bourbon stout, or they like a milkshake stout, or they like a Jeremiah Red, like a deep red. We will then brew just for the community those type of breweries. Our goal down the road is we plan on opening up 2 to 10 more of these on a smaller scale, where your Belinda will be our flagship that will feed the smaller breweries that we open up along the way.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other commissioners have any questions or comments? I have one question for the applicant. On the two motions that we potentially, items we have tonight, have you read all those conditions of approval and are in agreement with those?
Yes, we have.
Okay, thank you. With that, now I'll open it to the public comment. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak on this item on the agenda?
Chair Masterson, there are no members of the public requesting to speak.
Okay. With that, I will close the public comment. Do we have a motion on this item?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving conditional use permit 2021-27 Lone Wolf Brewing Company, subject to the attached conditions.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Can you please take a vote?
Steve?
I vote yes.
Darnell?
I vote yes.
Singh?
I vote yes.
Masterson?
I vote yes.
Bernstein.
I vote yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
We have a second motion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move that the Planning Commission approve by minute motion design review 2021-09 Lone Wolf Brewing Company with condition.
You have a
second?
Second. Recording secretary, can you please take a vote?
Yes. Peeves?
I vote yes.
Darnell?
I vote yes.
Singh?
I vote yes.
Masterson?
I vote yes.
Bernstein?
I vote yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Mr. Brantley.
The Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days. Congratulations, and look forward to getting you through the building permitting process quickly as well. Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the grand opening, so let's move this along.
Sure.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to new business, item number 4, appeal of accessory dwelling unit 2021-08 Santosa. Mr. Brantley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As the commission is aware, state laws have changed dramatically over the last 10 years relative to the ability to build accessory dwelling units on single family lots. They used to be referred to as granny units. As the law evolved, they became known as second units. And then more recently, they have been termed accessory dwelling units. And back in, I believe, 2019, the law evolved a little bit more even to require accessory dwelling units to be constructed with even fewer barriers and without any discretionary review authority by local government. Again, this was intended by the legislature to help to ease the housing crisis in the state of California, of course. And so we have a number of these that come forward on properties. They are approved at a staff level generally. However, there is a provision in our code that allows for appeal, and we have received an appeal of this item. And our original planner that worked on the staff level review was Mr. Raymer. And I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Raymer to walk us through what the framework for reviewing ADUs is and what the city's process is relative to these. Again, there are certain standards and criteria that the state has established, and cities do not have any discretion beyond making a determination that a proposed ADU is consistent with those limited criteria. And so the appeal, and Mr. Raymer will be going into this, is really focused on the issue of compliance with those criteria, the eligibility criteria that the state has told us we have to work under. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Raymer to walk us through the staff report.
Thank you, Dave. Good evening, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Again, the item before you is an appeal of an administrative adjustment approval for, actually administrative approval for an ADU request is 2021-08, which approved for the construction of a 7,400 square foot accessory dwelling unit within the rear yard of subject property located at 21290 Via Thomas. As Dave mentioned, accessory dwelling units are regulated in the zoning code pursuant to and in compliance with state laws, which have very limited restrictions or very limited ability for the city to deny these requests pursuant to what the state law has passed down to every jurisdiction within the state of California. State law prohibits denying accessory dwelling units if they meet certain standards and criteria set forth in the city ordinance and the SB proposals that were adopted by the state in 2019. Provided they meet all the standards, the city must approve the project and administratively, and there's no discretionary overview of the request. An appeal letter was received by the city on June 7th by neighbors of the ADU applicant along Via Thomas. And the comprehensive review of the standards and criteria was provided in the staff report, and staff believes that the project is in complete compliance. This was a review we did initially when the project was submitted. We sent out the notice and indicated that, and based on the criteria, based on what was shown on the plans and provided to staff, we approved it at staff level. That again was appealed to the Planning Commission. Again, state law prohibits denial of an ADU if it is in compliance with standards and criteria established in the zoning code pursuant to the state laws. Therefore, staff recommends that the Planning Commission deny the appeal request and make the determination conform to the standards and criteria set forth in Section 18.20050 of the Yorba-Linda Municipal Code, which again is predicated on state laws and mandates that have come down to our jurisdiction to enforce and regulate and abide by. So I believe that we are in a situation where we cannot deny this. And if the Planning Commission feels that this project does not meet those criteria and standards, the commission can vote otherwise. But again, staff is recommending approval of this request.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add, Mr. Raymer prepared a very thorough and detailed written staff report regarding this appeal matter this evening. And it actually goes through each and every one of the criteria upon which ADUs are evaluated. And he didn't go into, a point by point in this verbal overview. I think that the written staff report is very clear. But if there are any questions about a particular criterion, and you would like staff to provide further explanation of our analysis relative to that issue, please feel free. We're happy to do that. I know that the public, may not have read the staff report. And that you probably will have some public that want to participate in this. So we're here for questions, and turn it back over to the chair.
Do any commissioners have any questions for staff?
Go ahead.
Ms. Darnell.
My question isn't for staff. I have a question of the original applicant, Ms. Ali Santosa. So whenever we get to that, I have a question.
Okay. Commissioner Pease?
Yeah, I just wanted to echo Mr. Brantley's comments. I read this staff report cover to cover, and I thought Mr. Reamer did an excellent job in terms of going over what the requirements are and whether or not this project conforms to those requirements. So I wanted to acknowledge that.
Okay. Question for staff. If we didn't approve this, what you're saying is if everything falls within conformance, it's basically state law. I'm just trying to understand if we didn't pass this tonight, what would be the kind of the next phase that the property owner would do, or what happens in that case?
Well, I think if you go through it and you say it does not meet the criteria, you've got to come up with a reason why it does not. And we can always go back to the applicant and say, hey, the commission believes that you do not meet this portion of the criteria, and they would adjust it. I don't think there's an opportunity to deny the project per se, but you could say or deny a certain aspect of the proposal, believing it does not meet the standards and criteria set out within our code.
Okay, thank you.
Chair, oh, sorry.
Yes,
I actually do have some questions if the city attorney could come on for a minute, because I'd just like to get a couple of things on the record. So Todd, are you with us?
I'm here. I've been here always.
Okay, thank you. So I've read through the packet. I've also read through the neighbor concerns, and you know, I definitely understand the concerns of the neighbors. However, a lot of the issues that are brought up in the objection to the project are really and there were, you know, statements about standing up to the state of California regarding mandates and things like that. So can you just give an overview of, number one, the responsibility of the Planning Commission when it comes to adjudicating projects as in terms of conformance with law, with the state law, and also with the general plan? And then beyond that, the role of the council as the policymaking body, because really the objections that are raised here to me are a policy issue, and we are not a policymaking body, as my understanding of our charge.
Sure. So governmental power, broadly defined in legal terms, is called the police power. And that is the authority that a governmental entity has to undertake certain actions. In our federal system of government in the United States, that police power is based in the state, right? There are certain things under our Constitution which are specifically delegated to the federal government. But pursuant to the amendments of the Constitution, everything else is left to the states. One of the things else is land use law. So the state of California has adopted certain requirements pertaining to the allowance of property owners within the state of California to build or use their properties. The city of Yorba Linda, as a city within the state of California, is bound by those state law requirements as outlined in the ADU laws in the staff report put together by Greg. The city of Yorba Linda has adopted an ordinance in compliance with the state law, and in that ordinance retains to itself as much, although limited, discretion that it can within that law to govern these types of applications. So you, as the Planning Commission, are to use your discretion against that framework of the law to see if the facts before you comply with those legal requirements as imposed by the state of California and as adopted, because we had to adopt or else they kicked in anyway, by the city of Yorba Linda. As far as the, you know, vast majority of the objections, yes, they are more of a public policy nature, which is certainly fine for people to hold those positions, but it is nothing that we have the authority or can deal with in the context of this land use application, because they are not things which we are allowed to rely on to either deny or approve an application, as in this case. So that's sort of the basic outline.
Thank you. And so David, as with other actions, would tonight's decision be appealable to the city council, whichever way it goes?
Yes, it would, within 15 days.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other commissioners, any comments?
Chair, if I may.
Yes, Commissioner Singh.
I did read about the owner occupancy requirement for approving an ADU. Which says that the owner must be living in the principal's main residence for approval of an ADU. Now, in this specific case, is the owner living in the principal residence? Because I think I saw somewhere that it is rented out.
I can answer that question. The law states that it suspended the owner occupancy until 2025. So what we're going to have is the applicant will have to sign a disclosure, or actually a deed restriction, that would say they would either live in the main residence or in the ADU in perpetuity after January 1st, 2025. Currently, the state, we used to have it where you lived on the property, either in the main residence or the ADU, until this recent upgrade or recent change to the law by the state. So now we can only impose it starting January 1st in 2025. So if the applicant wishes to not live on the property between now and January 1st of 2025, state law allows that. And we understand the concerns of the neighbors, but again, we can't go back and violate what the state mandates us as a city to accept and approve.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question. So after January 1st, 2025, the owner, the applicant does sign a deed restriction, but for whatever circumstances, they do not live, and they've already built an ADU by then. And if they do not, they're not able to live in due to any circumstances, what can be done? And if it's both the properties are rented out, or one is just vacant?
Mr. Chair, I can answer that question. Essentially, they would be in violation of their approval and in violation of the city's municipal code. At that point, we have our community preservation division, code enforcement, that would enforce that code. So that leaves the property owner the option. If they do not wish to live in the property, they could sell the property to another property owner who wished to live in the property. And the approval would run with the land, not with the property, current property owner, and they could assume ownership and live on the property, either in the main house or in the accessory dwelling unit, and be in compliance with the city's approval.
Okay, thank you. Just again, for my knowledge, what is the extent the enforcement code or can, you know, they can't force the owner to sell the property, but to what extent besides imposing fines, what other measures can the coding division take? To what extent?
Well, the enforcement process is an iterative process. We don't start from the very beginning throwing people in jail, but we do start with what's called a courtesy notice. It gives people a couple of weeks to comply, followed by a stronger courtesy notice. And then there are final notices, and then fines start to kick in. We usually will give people a couple of fines before we turn it over to the city attorney's office. The city attorney then has their process where they will send a letter strongly urging a property owner to comply with the law. And if they don't, then we have the ability to take the matter to the courts.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other commissioner questions for staff? No? Okay. With that, I will open the public hearing. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak on this matter?
Chair Masterson, can you remind everyone that there's a time limit on public comments?
Yes. Yeah. There's a three minute time limit on all public comments. Nate, is anyone online who wishes to speak on the matter?
Yes. So let me just. There's no one requesting to speak at this time. But for those who are wanting to speak, I imagine there are some. If you could use the raise hand function on Zoom, that'll let us know that you'd like to speak. It looks like Ken has unmuted himself. I'm assuming that Ken is trying to speak on the side.
Yeah, and FYI, it's 5 minutes. People are allowed up to 5 minutes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Okay.
Hello? Yes, this is Tim Munich speaking.
Yes.
Yes, I have a question. When you said there's a state law that you have to follow, but is there a state law to waive the fees on these things? to incur, you're encouraging ADUs to come in by waiving the Yorba Linda building fees or permit fees or whatever they're called. And I think that's a thing where you're just encouraging it instead of trying to fight putting these things in people's backyards. So why encourage it?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to help answer that question. And Mr. Farnsworth, our housing element project manager, is also on the line. And he can jump in anytime here. We actually just had, prior to this planning commission meeting, a housing element workshop at 5 o'clock. It started, and this was a major part of the discussion in during that meeting. And essentially, the state has asked the city, well, all cities in our region, to comply with what's called housing element law right now, and prepare a housing element for review and approval by HCD, the State Housing and Community Development Department. Housing element is part of our general plan, and it outlines how the city is going to provide and plan for housing needs in the community. And as I said, this is something that's going on regionally right now. And this time around, we have been given what's called a RENA number, a regional housing needs allocation for the region, which is extremely large. It's 1.34 million housing units in the SCAG region. We're part of the SCAG region. And then that number has to be allocated to individual jurisdictions within the SCAG region. And each city, based on a very elaborate formula, receives their fair share portion of the regional arena, if you will, as their local regional housing needs allocation. And we have to show, demonstrate in our housing element, how we are providing the capacity to meet that RENA number. Our number this time around is 2,415 dwelling units over the next 8 years. As part of that strategy, we are hoping to rely on these ADUs because we believe that ADUs are a bit softer approach to meeting the RENA requirement than building large apartment complexes. And this has been a discussion that we've been having for the last year plus with the Planning Commission and the public, again, as part of our housing element. And, you know, we think there's a lot of merit in trying to gain credit from the state for ADU production and ADU capacity. And we want to maximize that so that we're not, you know, consuming available property with high or minimizing the development of high density apartment projects on vacant property elsewhere in the city. Kind of a more gentler approach to meeting the requirement. So that's the reasoning behind the fee waiver. It's again something that HCD has explained to the city, that in order to maximize ADU credit towards meeting our RENA, we need to incentivize further construction of ADUs. And one of the tools that we have implemented to do that is the fee waiver program.
All right. So I have a couple more questions. So has there been like a traffic study performed with additional ADUs coming in? Or the second question is, is there any studies for the Orange County Fire Department, you know, being so close to a wooden fence, for example, in my yard, or the water? You know, Governor Gavin Newsom just won the 15% cut, but we're adding more ADUs and people in our city that, you know, is renters, and they're just temporary people here. And also crime, you know, studies, anything like that. Like I know down in Sabi Ranch, I know the crime's gone up down in that area since those units were built. How about the electrical demands? Do you have all that? We just had a power outage yesterday. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. And also the main concern on our cul-de-sac is with five people in a rental, there's three bedrooms in that house and two in the ADU, where are these people going to park? Nobody parks on our street. So what are we going to have to do? They're going to all park in front of my house because Catherine's on a curb. I just want to know if any studies have been done or not, all of you on the record.
Mr. Chair, I can respond to that as well. These are all very, very legitimate concerns and questions that I would probably say most people in our profession asked when these new ADU more relaxed provisions came down from the state. And, you know, whether you agree with them or not, the state legislature saw fit to implement the law as it stands without any provision for traffic studies or fire OCFA analysis, water analysis. They basically are allowing this without any discretionary review. So I know that the Yorba Linda Water District has taken this into consideration in their water planning. They do 5-year water demand assessments regularly in order to ensure they have adequate infrastructure to meet demand. But in terms of traffic and all the other items that you have explained, Mr. Munich, those were not taken into account by the state law. In the eyes of the state, the compelling need in the state is to help provide housing for people. And this is the way that they have deemed appropriate for helping to ease the housing crisis, for what it's worth.
Yeah, but that's why the city should stand up to the state, because if they don't take any of these things into consideration, this whole city is going to be looking like Santa Ana next in a couple of years. And we bought houses here in single family units here to enjoy our neighborhood and a good quality of life. And if you go down to La Habra or Santa Ana, we don't have a lot of graffiti here. And when we have a piece of graffiti, it's 86, it's gone. No, we all work hard to get our homes here, and we didn't buy our homes based upon ADUs coming in here. And, you know, even the financial impact of an ADU next to my house or Mr. Huddy's house, what's the financial impact study on that? There isn't any. Nobody can show me that my curb value is going to probably go up because she has more square footage. Mine's going to change because it's five renters next door.
Recording
Hawaii and doesn't care.
Recording secretary, how are we on time?
We have 1 minute and 40 seconds left.
Okay. Please continue. Look,
just another comment in response. So we haven't seen that sort of situation arise with ADUs. If you were part of our earlier meeting, you would have heard that ADUs are being constructed in the city largely to accommodate you know, normal folks that, you know, need a place to live. A lot of them are family members. A lot of them are folks that find it helpful to rent out a room or, you know, in a junior ADU or in an ADU in order to help them, you know, pay their mortgage and make ends meet. You know, Yorba Linda has extremely low crime, and that's, you know, why it is such a desirable place to live, and you are absolutely right.
And that's why I would like a study done now, so in 3 years, when you see an increase in crime and the sheriff, OC sheriff over here across the street, is going to be a little more busy, and you will wonder why. And you'll see scratched out graffiti in the bathrooms and all that.
Well, you know, again, we haven't seen that, and you know, I don't really agree that that's sort of the necessary outcome of ADU construction. You know, as soon as the suspension from the state on owner occupancy expires in 2025, there will be a property owner that needs to live on this property, and they will be required to do that. That's what our code requires.
They have 4 years to get the law changed.
And again, that's because that's what the state mandated. There's a moratorium on the owner occupancy criteria because other communities have required that very same provision. So unfortunately, Mr. Munich, we're in a really tight box based on the state law, and the city has very, very little discretion on ADUs.
But I think the city should stand up to the state of California and make a stand, unless you want one in your neighbor's backyard. I'm serious on that. I mean, we don't want these units here.
Your comments. We appreciate your comments. And please take all those up with the city council as well. They're the policymakers. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else from the public wishing to speak on this item? Nope.
Chair Masterson, there are no other members of the public for questions.
Okay. With that, I will close the public comment. Do we have a motion on this item?
We have to see.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Pease.
I want to make a couple disclosures. I met with Mr. Munich on Sunday. I met with him in his house, and he showed me the location of the proposed ADU. We went in his backyard and looked at it. And then I also went to the property on the 13th on Monday and – or Tuesday. No, on Monday. I'm sorry, on the 12th. And I did go in the backyard, and I did walk the area where the proposed ADU would be located. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Darnell, did you have another item that you
– No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Okay. Do we have any other commissioner comments or a motion?
Mr. Chair, I do have a comment, and then I'll make a motion. I just want to say for the record, I want to echo what Mr. Brantley was saying. You know, I know that in this housing process that we're going through, it really is a challenge, but I really do, I do believe that the ADUs, they do serve a significant purpose. And I know that affordable housing in general gets a bad rap, and in some instances, you know, there are challenges with it, but I always like to put this on the record. When I just finished college and I was first a young professional, I lived in an ADU behind an older couple in Brea. And I can assure you that I was not, you know, a challenge to the neighborhood. So in many instances, maybe not this one, but in many of them, they are, you know, the original house is owner occupied, and, you know, people don't tend to rent to people that they don't want in their own backyard. So while I understand the challenges regarding this specific one, I do appreciate the thoughtful approach to the state housing shortage, which, you know, like it or not, we live in the state with the politics that we do. So with that, I will recommend that the Planning Commission determine by minute motion that the project application to construct a 746 square foot accessory dwelling unit on the property addressed 21290 Via Tomas does conform to the standards and the criteria of section 18.2.050 of the Yorba Linda Municipal Code.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Recording secretary, can we take a vote?
Yes. Pease?
I vote yes.
Darnell?
I vote yes.
Bernstein?
I vote yes.
Sings?
I vote yes.
Masterson?
I vote yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
And the Planning Commission's decision is final unless it were appealed to the City Council within 15 days.
See you guys in 15 days.
Moving on. Item number 5, Design Review 2021-01 and Accessory Dwelling Unit 2021-02 Yang. Mr. Brantley.
Hey, Mr. Chair, Mr. Mason Warren will be giving the staff report on this item.
Thank you, Director Brantley, members of the commission. The item before you today is a request for a detached accessory dwelling unit for the property addressed as 6099 Nutmeg Lane. within the RE residential estate zone. The design review portion of the application is before you today because the proposed ADU exceeds the maximum size of permitted ADUs by right, 1,000 square feet. The applicant is proposing to construct a 1,200 square foot detached accessory dwelling unit on their lot. Again, the zoning code allows for the Planning Commission to approve larger ADUs at their discretion on lots that are 15,000 square feet or larger. In this case, the subject lot is well over the 15,000 square feet minimum, about 20,000 square feet. The proposed ADU would be single story and accommodate with its two bedrooms as shown on the floor plan. And the proposed ADU meets the setback standards for the RE residential estate zone. You'll notice on the floor plan, there is an attached pool room and outdoor bath and pool bath that are completely walled off from the ADU and are a separate part of the construction. That is not included as part of the 1,200 square feet of the ADU. Again, that's separate. There's no doors or entry, ingress, egress between the two. Staff believes that the ADU is appropriate given the location and the size of the lot. It's set back far enough to limit visibility from the right-of-way. Staff believes that the design of the ADU, as it is consistent largely with the design of the existing single-story, single-family residence on the property, is acceptable for the standards upheld for ADU approvals in the past. So staff recommends that the Planning Commission approve by minute motion first design review 2021-01, subject to the attached conditions, and further recommends the Planning Commission approve by minute motion accessory dwelling unit 2021-02. Yang, if there's any questions, be happy to address those.
Any comments, questions for staff? Commissioner Singh.
So the pool room, is that a new construction or that's an existing? That'll be new construction.
The pool room would be new construction.
Okay. Is there a square footage limit on the pool room and the pool bath and the bathroom?
No, not necessarily. So no, the pool room is permitted by right.
Okay, so in addition to a 1,200 square feet ADU, one could have a 1,000 square feet of pool room with a bath if there's no restriction. Is that correct?
Yeah, again, the pool room is completely separate, fully walled off from the ADU. And yeah, if it was just a pool room by itself, then that's something that would just go straight to plan check, assuming it meets the development standards.
Okay, I'm just not familiar with the code for the pool room, so just a question.
But would it count towards lot coverage?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Any other questions for staff? Nope. Okay.
Just a quick one.
Yes, so, Mr. Bergen.
Thank you. So the ADU has a bathroom?
Yes, the ADU has a master bathroom as part of the master bedroom.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, I will open it up for public comment. Does anybody in the public wish to speak on this matter? Nate, anyone out there?
Chair Masterson, there are no members of the public requesting to speak on this.
Is the applicant online?
We are here. Yeah.
Have you reviewed all the conditions?
Yes, we do.
And you're in agreement with them?
Yeah.
Okay, anything you wish to speak on the project?
Yeah, I wish we can get approval as soon as possible because we can build the ADU, the new ADU. No question. Anything is only 25% of the total lot. So it's still in the law.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, I will close the public comment. Do any commissioners want to make a motion or do we have a motion on this item?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner Pease.
I move that the Planning Commission approve by minute motion the attached conditions approving design review 2021-01 Yang.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second.
Recording secretary, can we take a vote?
Steve?
I vote yes.
Singh?
Vote yes.
Darnell?
I vote yes.
Bernstein?
I vote yes.
Masterson?
I vote yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I move that the Planning Commission approve by minute motion accessory dwelling unit 2021-02 Yang.
Do I have a second?
Thank you. Thank you.
Second.
I appreciate it.
Recording secretary, can we take a vote?
Yes. Darnell?
Yes. I vote yes.
Steve?
I vote yes.
Bernstein?
I vote yes.
Singh?
I vote yes.
Masterson?
I vote yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Mr. Brantley? Oh, on mute. Go on mute.
I'm sorry. The Planning Commission's decision is final unless appealed to the City Council within 15 days. Congratulations, Ms. Yang.
Okay, moving on. Do we have any old business?
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
You know, we're having some muting issues. moving on to, I guess, the director's report. Mr. Brantley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hey, just wanted to let the commission know that we're getting really close to reopening the council chambers after the renovation project. Not 100% sure yet if the council will be meeting in person in the council chamber on July 20th. But that is the soft anticipated date. It might kick over to their first meeting in August. But with all of the new AV equipment that has been installed, which is really great, I think you're going to like it. There's a bit of training that's going to be necessary in order to feel comfortable using it. And our IT staff has asked whether or not the Planning Commission could make themselves available. And preliminarily, they had asked like for a day like or two before the meeting for a couple of hours. I've asked whether or not we could sort of piggyback on the same day as your regular Planning Commission. Because I know you all are very busy, and I know that you have at least set aside the 6:30 to say 9:30 time frame on a regular Planning Commission night for Planning Commission. So I want to be respectful of your availability, but wanted to get some feedback on whether if we were to try to set it up at say 4 o'clock on a Planning Commission day, is that workable, or is there some ability if, you know, we could schedule it on another day and have you come in? And I'm not sure whether it necessarily has to be all of you on the same day. It could be a little bit flexible, but sorry, I don't have more information. IT is sort of still putting it together, but any feedback you could provide that could help us guide IT in order to schedule the training would be helpful.
So to confirm, July 28th is our next meeting, but most likely we're going to be doing that one Zoom.
If the council opens up on the 20th, I would like to get the commission back to the council chambers on the 28th, if at all possible.
Well,
I have some information on that because I was in a council's probably going live next meeting, so
which is the 20th.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, 4 o'clock might be hard to make, David, for those of us that are working.
Thought so.
But five
might
might be better. Or I was even going to suggest, David, once you know a little bit more, maybe if we could like utilize some sort of technology like a doodle poll to, and you could propose like 5 or 6 times to all of us, and then we try to find consensus around a time.
Okay.
How long do you anticipate the training to be?
Well, what I'm hearing is that the IT guy wants to spend about 20 minutes with each of you.
Wow. Of course, that's probably 30 for me because I'll need remedial.
But not each of us, but we don't each have to sit there through each other's training.
Well, again, I'm not 100% clear on whether he wants to do it as a group or individually. I would think there's some flexibility there, but I can get more information on that. But the 5 o'clock time frame on a planning commission day, if there's consensus that that is workable, then at least I have that to take to the IT guy. And if he says, no, we have to do it on a different day because of X, Y, and Z, then I can reach back out to you and sort of do what Commissioner Darnell suggested, just propose, you know, some dates and times. But it sounds like after 5 o'clock is probably better than not. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone disagree?
I mean, David, for me, it really just depends on the day. Yeah. It just depends on what my, so if you just get in touch, you know, if we're not all doing it together, just get in touch with me that week and we'll figure out a slot. Because as long as I can block my work calendar, it's usually fine.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that. The only other bit of news that I would like to share with you, I know this has been an ongoing concern in the community and in particular with the Planning Commission, and that's the open bar tap house situation and the removal of that building. I'm happy to say that Zelman, the landlord, well, property owner, pulled a demolition permit yesterday, and their demolition contractors were on site working on the interior today, and you should see exterior work starting tomorrow and probably by the weekend quite a bit more work. So it's going to take them about 2 weeks to bring the building down, but knock on wood, everything appears to be moving in the right direction finally on a very complicated set of circumstances that resulted in that building, you know, remaining on the site for this period of time. So we'll be closing this chapter very soon and working with our eye towards the future and securing a quality alternate tenant for the location, and they're going to have to build a new building. We'll see how that plays out. I'll keep you informed as we continue to move forward. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Commissioner comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Commissioner P.
Well, Mr. Brantley saved me a question, so I want to thank him for that. But I want to comment that the 4th of July fireworks show in the city was just fantastic, really enjoyable. It was great live entertainment, and the next one, fireworks show. And those are my comments. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. I'll second that on the fireworks show. Moving on to correspondence received. Recording Secretary, do we receive any correspondence?
Nope, nothing else.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would just note for the record that we did receive the correspondence from Mr. Ken Munich regarding the appeal of the ADU matter, and that was forwarded to the planning commissioners when it came in a couple of days ago. So you should have that already.
Nope. Yeah, and that also included the surrounding property owners as well.
On that. Correct.
Okay. Then that I will adjourn.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh,
Todd here. I apologize. And maybe David's already briefed you. I apologize. Just for your information, OCOG, Orange County Council of Governments, I guess it is, they filed a lawsuit against HCD's RENA designation to SCAG. So there has actually been a lawsuit filed on that issue. It will wind its way through the courts, such as it were. But I just wanted to let you guys know that that did occur.
Okay. Oh, I did have one thing. Director Flanagan, have we been following SB 9 and SB 10 going through the state?
Yes, we have. We've been reporting out to the City Council regularly on the status of those bills. The council's very, very interested in both of those. I believe that they are still in committee.
Okay.
Unless Mr. Farnsworth, you have any additional update?
Does that really make the ballot initiative illegal? That fully gets removed based on those bills?
I believe that that is one of the concerns with regard to, I believe, SB 10, that it does override local growth control initiatives. That's how many of us are interpreting it. I don't know if there has been a legislative determination on whether, in fact, that is the case. But that is the concern, one of the major concerns of SB 10.
Okay. Query to that point, Chairman, though, the right to initiative is vested in the California Constitution. Can the state legislature preempt the California Constitution? We shall see.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Well, then with that, I will adjourn to the next Planning Commission, July 28th, 2021 at 6:30 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
You.